This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Spouting Off. I love the Friday edition of Spouting Off. In fact, I love all of my Spouting Off shows. If you're counting, sorry for that throat of the clear, reverse that. If you're counting, this is show number 162 of Spouting Off. And as you may know, you can listen to Spouting Off out of New Hampshire on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. One more time. 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Mountain, 10 a.m. Pacific. And on Fridays at BBS Radio, or you can go to www.karencataline.com, and all you got to do is push the right listen live button at the right time when you arrive at showtime, and you'll be able to listen no matter where you are. You don't have to listen out of Nashua, New Hampshire. But so we have Spouting Off 3 days a week, and of course I spout off the rest of the week in print, in writing, on the internet. And let's just dive right in. First off, actually, let me give you the telephone number in case you'd like to chime in or in case you'd like to spout off. 888-627-6008. It's 888-627-6008. So I thought, I was thinking, as I often do, how do you talk about so much and yet so little? We're living in such an enigma right now. There is so much going on, and yet there's no news at all from the news that I'm expecting. We are at showtime. It is midday on December 18th. If you've been watching and listening to alternative media and others, as I have begun to do, you know that December 18th has been given as one of the very important days in the march up to January 20th, the only day that is mentioned in the Constitution as the change of power and the beginning of a new term for whomever is elected president, be he the second term of an existing president or a challenger. Now, you couldn't be living under a rock because everybody, even people living under a rock, knows that there is a dispute in the presidential election, and yet a whole bunch of people are throwing in the towel, even some on our side. So when I say there's no news at all, it's because I've looked and scoured the internet, scoured various news sources to see if there's something on DNI, Director of National Intelligence's John Ratliff. It's now 2 p.m. on the East Coast, to see if something's going to happen. Now, when I was listening to a alternate news source, they said that the deep state, if you believe this, and I do, there are many definitions of what the deep state is. They are fighting to delay this report. The reason the report, the DNI report, is so very important is because 45 days after the election, which today is 45 days after the election, that's when a challenge to the election must be done, as I understand it. John Ratliff, Director of National Intelligence, is going to make that report, which will make it possible for Donald Trump to put into motion some of his other options should he choose to do so. Everybody is speculating on what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and if it does happen, when. All of us, as I've said, are watching this unfold together. And it is amazing to me the number of people, even on our side of the aisle, either through corruption or habit or pattern or weakness or who knows what else. I'm fascinated that they are throwing in the towel. Some well-known conservatives, not only in Colorado, but across the country, ones that we generally don't think of as corrupt and possibly sold out to the Chinese, as many of those news stories are rolling out. But people that that I have always believed, trusted, not believed, I don't believe anyone 100%, because everybody can fail and make mistakes, and I certainly can. So but people who I would be shocked to think might be corrupt in some way or sold out to the level that we're talking about, they have been calling for Trump to concede this election. And what's their reasoning? Their reasoning is, because it's unseemly. Now, I might be putting words in their mouth, but they're saying, they want to be statesmanlike and it's bad for the country. And I've been exchanging emails and in a long back and forth discussion with some of these people. And I ask, so is socialism and communism good for the country? And this notion that you can put up a phony front about unity when everyone knows the Democrats have no interest in unity, nor do they have any interest in listening to conservatives and, frankly, any alternate point of view. They have allowed their latent tyrant to come out. They want to shut opposition and dissent down. I'm glad I didn't have time to get the audio from Hillary Clinton screaming at the top of her lungs during the W. Bush administration, which she was screaming. I can hear it in my ears. We have a right to see my little breaking voice is perfect for her. We have a right to disagree with any administration, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure you probably heard that. See, none of the Democrats' rules apply to themselves. They only apply to us. And we're seeing that on steroids right now. So if I had a theme today, it would be that there's what's going on, and then there's how people are reacting to it. And I want to talk about both. And what's going on, there is a ton, but of course, the mainstream media will not report it. Anybody who still looks to, I don't even like calling them the mainstream media, but, the usual suspects, either for their news or for an honest assessment of where we are, they should have given that up a long time ago. So among the massive news stories that we are following is that John Roberts, somebody that we expected, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, is indeed corrupt. We thought so when he stuck his finger in our eye and suddenly decided that Obamacare was now a tax and that was okay, even though Obamacare had been sold as not a tax. Now suddenly it is a tax, or did I get that in reverse? Now, they sold it to the American people. It's not a tax. It's not a tax. And then John Roberts is the deciding vote that enables a despicable socialized medicine system that still isn't gone because of Republicans, mealy-mouthed and corrupt Republicans. It's still not gone because John Roberts that was a blind side. Nobody saw that coming because he was dishonest up until that time. Do I think he suddenly changed his mind? No. I don't think people change their stripes. But nevertheless, the newest news, and I looked for a way to get you the audio for this, not only the audio of Roberts, which I'm not sure there is, but there is someone reporting on what he heard John Roberts say to one of the other liberal justices, whose name escapes me at the moment, Breyer. There you go, Justice Breyer, a reliable liberal justice. And usually there's a closed room in which justices decide whether to take a case or not. And now it's being leaked and reported that John Roberts was screaming at the top of his lungs that he doesn't want to hear about Bush Gore anymore because people are rioting in the streets. So therefore, he's going to roll over for fear that there might be riots in the streets. That's the Chief Justice of the United States. But that's not all. There's more. He was also overheard as saying that he hates Donald Trump with a purple passion, right? I'm paraphrasing. He used lots of expletives to explain that he's going to do everything he can to make sure that Donald Trump is not reelected, as I read it. Not only should he be recused, he should be impeached. I don't think there's ever been a Supreme Court justice, certainly not a Chief Justice. I don't care what his title is. But now it's clear. Lynn Wood has reported this, that John Roberts is corrupt, and it is quite clear. Now we're looking, thank God, it isn't just the Supreme Court that can turn around this rigged, fraudulent, phony, systemically dishonest election. Sidney Powell has two cases, some that were dismissed, some that are on the Supreme Court docket, but most of us do not believe that the Supreme Court is going to give us a fair shake either. And it is heartbreaking for people to have to admit everywhere they turn, that there are traitors and people who are not standing in support of the Constitution, but they were running a scam all along. And our world is getting smaller and smaller and smaller as we see the number of people who are dedicated to the truth wherever it leads. Now, I wrote a piece. I'm trying to tie up these loose ends to give you a sense of it. I really would love if you would go to my website, KarenCataline.com. I have a piece under full-length articles called Conceit, Surrender. Really? And I use just as one example a friend who I've had a lot of respect for. I think we've both respected one another. And he wrote a piece on his blog. I've linked to it so you can read it, in which he says that he had a dream, a sweet, gentle dream that Trump would concede the election. And the piece is called Twilight for Trump, Knowing When to Fold Him. He wants to fold on liberty in this country. Now, therein lies the real disagreement. He doesn't think it's over if the corrupt Chinese compromised Democrats, among others, take the executive branch in this country. Not only would it be over, but you're rewarding the people who cheated in the election besides. It's huge. There's a lot there, much to discuss. And we're going to take a break right now. I have a wonderful guest to talk about masks and coronavirus, which figures in perfectly to everything we're talking about. But we have another segment where you could chime in. And I think I might just be talking to my engineer, Doug, who has a couple of opinions himself. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off, and you can spout off if you want. Just give me a call, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I am your host, Karen Cataline. And, you know, it's as if we've been talking about nothing other than the election, which people think, many people think is over. It ain't over. And the coronavirus. But I like to connect the dots between the two because I think there are tons of dots between the two. I use a wonderful program that helps me do my show prep. And it's for spatial thinkers like myself who see connections and relevancies to lots of things at one time, which is why it makes it so difficult for a person like me. Maybe it's because I'm left-handed and I think backwards. I'm not sure. But to make outlines and to think in a linear fashion. What this is a mind map that allows me to put thoughts down and then draw connections to things. And, you know, it's really what goes on in my head, but now I can look at it. I find it fascinating that I can use this program so well. It has held me in good stead for the last 4 years of doing talk radio. The reason I bring that up is because when I look at things like what we're going to talk about in this hour, we are talking about in this hour, you've got the election and the fraud and the lies, cheating and stealing and the narrative and the media and blah, 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 blah. And then you have this coronavirus and people being shut down. They can't socialize. They are having their rights systematically taken away. Our governments, our mayors, our governors are suddenly making demands instead of serving us. They are demanding and threatening and bullying and intimidating. That ain't America. Never has been, and hope to God it never will be. So we will be talking about the virus, but also about the mask, which in my opinion symbolizes just about everything that happened in 2020. I was saying that the mask is endemic of all of it way back in March and April and May. Why? Because you're unmasking the deep state. You're unmasking law-abiding citizens who are having their rights taken away. They're being spied upon. So unmasking people like General Flynn and all the rest, and then you're putting masks on law-abiding citizens so that you can't tell the difference between Antifa, a bank robber, and a law-abiding citizen who's doing as he's told, which I think he shouldn't do. It's tough to get a law-abiding citizen to break the rules, and the left knows that. They've known it all along. So we'll be talking about all of that, but now I want to bring on my esteemed engineer and one of the co-owners of BBS Radio, which is where Spouting Off began. BBS Radio is the flagship for Spouting Off. We started, I think, like 4 years ago, probably, the show, and then we got a trademark on Spouting Off. And this man has been with me from the beginning of that, and his name is Doug Newsom. Welcome on air to Spouting Off, Doug Newsom.
Well, hi, Karen.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, people recognize your voice because of the commercial that you cut for K Star Radio Network.
I'm famous.
It's wonderful. You've got a great radio voice. So we have not talked off the air, Doug, very much, other than I gave you a heads up on what I was going to ask you about. I am endlessly fascinated with how people are putting this together, what they're expecting, what they think will happen. We probably want the same thing to happen. But I want to ask you first off, right off the bat, do you have a strong sense of who you think will be inaugurated sometime in January? We don't even know if it's January 20th, but, you know, eventually who will be inaugurated as the next president of the United States?
Boy, I'll tell you, I sure know who I want. And I believe that that's the only right answer. But I'd say you got maybe a 20%, 10%, 20% for Trump and 80% for Biden. And the only reason I say that is because you have such a great number of Republicans, you know, a couple dozen that aren't, you know, falling in line with the party. And if you put up a positive front, you really need all of the people to come together.
Well, I think the party's been against Trump for a long time.
Right.
I think they're not falling into caring whether there was voter fraud to force Joe Biden on us when he spent his whole campaign in his basement.
Right.
So
those Republicans are doing damage to, he could have put up, they could have put up such a front and been united and literally even declared, say, martial law or taken it to the next level. But without that,
the president is the one who would do that.
Well, here's something that, you know, if you don't get your day in court and it's an international problem, which it is, right? Why couldn't you take it to the military court? Why couldn't you have, you know, three or four systems going where you make it open to the public, where they get to hear everything, so you get to air your grievances. No matter what, this needs its day in court, and it needs to be public.
And there are people conspiring to make sure it never reaches one's day in court, because whether it's now or whether it was November 4th, the same people who've been implicated as being corrupt and being owned and operated by the Chinese are the people who anointed Joe Biden president on the very next day and said, it's over, he doesn't get to contest. What's that tell you? They aren't very confident in their assessment. They just want to shut people down, which is what Chinese communists do. They don't sit around waiting for discussion and debate, as is the tradition of the United States of America once was, and we hope we don't lose forever. So,
I agree, but that means he's got to play every look. They're coming out gangbusters and doing absolutely everything from A to Z, even the dirty parts. He should use his ability in every possible way, even if it means, pushing the envelope to the nth degree, because we all need to know he's capable of that. My fear is that if he does not, you will have a huge swath of Republican voters that will never vote again because they won't believe in the system of voting. That's one. So it'll be very, very destructive to the Republican Party. I really believe that. It'll be destructive to the country, but even more so to the Republican Party if it doesn't stand. You know, you can't let this go by without fighting it tooth and nail to the nth degree and using everything in your disposal to do that.
Well, so, Donald Trump does not need the approval or the support of the Republican Party. He's had spotty support from the party all along.
Right.
So the question is, do you think Donald Trump, sorry, we got a pooch in the background who the mail's in. Do you think that Donald Trump will do that or has the fortitude to do that?
I would say I wouldn't bet against Trump to do that. Right. And the reason is because he knows that the outcome, if he doesn't do something like that, will not be favorable. I actually believe he's going to go to that nth degree. I mean, if somebody like, it'd just be hard for me to believe a man who can take on the world would at the last minute
say, okay, I'm not going to use all the tools in my arsenal. It just doesn't make sense. He doesn't strike me as that kind of man.
Doug, here's the thing. There are a whole bunch of Republicans, again, the oldest, most established establishment Republicans who believe that Donald Trump is prolonging this because he's an egomaniac. And in my opinion, nothing could be further from the truth. I don't think Donald Trump is doing that for that reason at all. I think he decided to run to try and break this deep state, the corruption that is coming out of, the horrible deals we made with China, which basically sold our country out to the Chinese. And he's here to expose and upset the true deep state. And if he weren't getting to them, they wouldn't be so furious, trying everything, including spying and falsely impeaching him and then cheating in order to get rid of him.
Right.
That
I agree.
I'm sure we probably agree.
I do agree.
I think he's doing it for the country because he knows that always your best chance to turn back the tide on, God forbid, socialism and communism is before it ever happens, not after. Once it happens, the left and the authoritarians close the barn door behind you so that you never have a voice again.
That's what I fear.
And that, in my opinion, is what we are looking at.
Right. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And it worries me. You know, there isn't a day that I wake up that I don't think, boy, what's America going to be like if we really allow that socialist fraud to allow for it? Where does that lead us? And to be honest with you, I'm an old guy. I'm okay. You know, you could say that's the fight for the young. They got to fight for their own advantages. You know, you hear that all the time. But I think it's a really sad state of affairs. And it's not the young that needs to fight. We all need to fight now. We all need to just get behind Donald Trump and go to that nth degree, because this isn't going to be, you know, it's not going to be nice. You know, when somebody cheats in class, and there's a student there that cheats in class, let's say a teacher says, okay, half you can cheat and half you can't, and don't you disagree. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to take there? Are you going to sit there and take it? Or are you going to walk out of the classroom? Are you going to try to have the teacher fired? Whatever. But what this is telling us is, no, you got to sit there and you got to take it. This is America now. You got to take it. Well, if that's America now, then I don't even know if I want to be in America now.
Well, and there are a lot of people. Here's because I know we're coming up on a break in just a couple minutes, right, Mr. Many-hatted?
Exactly, two.
Owner, producer, owner, everything else. And that is, to make it short, I know people who say, Bubba, and him, that's Bubba, the Patriots, if it comes, and I hope it doesn't come to this, I don't think Trump wants it to come to this, when Bubba says, we're going to fight for our country, he's only on his second cup of coffee right now. He's not, you know, but there are enough patriots in this country that will not allow that to happen. And I don't want to allow or see bloodshed in this country. It's the left that has done this, that kind of bloodshed and bullying and intimidation. We're going to have to leave it there because we're going to have to take a break. Thank you so much to Doug, my producer.
Thank you.
He's become a friend. Thank you for your thoughts. Always fun to talk to you. And when we come back, we will have our guest. We'll shift gears, but not exactly. Alan Stevo will join us, and we'll talk about this other huge story, the coronavirus, and how the left is using it to take away your freedom. We'll be back on Spouting Off right after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
And welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and you can listen to Spouting Off Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Mountain, because that just happens to be where I'm based, in northern Colorado and southern Wyoming. Or you can listen at 2 p.m. on Fridays on BBS Radio. All of that is at my website, KarenCataline.com. Well, I was looking for the bio of our next guest. By the way, it is such a pleasure when I do a lot of other shows, I encounter a lot of great guests that I would ordinarily not have known about. And I glommed on to this next guest. His name is Alan Stevo, and could not find your bio there on Amazon. So first, welcome to Spouting Off, Alan, and it's good to talk to you once again.
Karen, it's a joy to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. So, because I can't find it on Amazon and I have it someplace, I'm a little discombobulated right now. Tell us a little bit about your background so everybody can hear, and then we'll talk also about your book, which is called Face Masks in One Lesson. But tell us about your wheelhouse, if you will.
Karen, I write all over the place. I've been writing for 15 years or better. I'm a syndicated columnist. I've been writing on topics of personal liberty and health freedom. I speak at colleges and universities. I'm active in the technology industry, and lots of work focused on how can we live more free lives? How can we live better lives? How can we be more American? And face masks in one lesson kind of comes out of that milieu, that idea of how can more people live the life that they want? And face masks in one lesson is essentially about how to never wear a face mask again.
Yes. Well, it's interesting because as soon as I interviewed you for the first time, I was immediately jazzed to talk about this because I must say I was very early to recognize that face masks were not about face masks at all. They're about obedience. They're about robbing us of our individualism. It's about submission. It's about scaring people and a whole bunch more. And since you write on issues of personal freedom, you must be busier than you've ever been because never have our freedoms, all of them, been under such attack. So let me just tell you one other thing, and then I'm going to just let you go, and you can talk about your book. And that is... At Walmart, I'm used to being the only person without a mask, and I wish to see more. At a Kroger store, I saw a bunch of people without masks, and we are now giving each other the thumbs up and congratulating one another because not only is it preposterous, but it models for other people that they can have the courage that we have, too. It never took courage. It would take... an elephant to get me to roll over and say uncle to something as unconstitutional, ugly, psyop-y, and all the rest is face masks. So tell everybody about your book, Face Masks in One Lesson, and what will we find if we buy it? And we should.
Karen, what you're saying about obedience, robbing us of individualism, scaring us, when we look at the science, this is the only thing left for the mask to actually be about. Because we have literature from going back many years, and in CDC journals of this year as well, May 2020, the CDC Journal of Epidemiology, Emerging Infectious Disease, it's called, speaks about how face masks aren't protective against COVID-19. And they go so far as to say, if you wear a dirty face mask and you touch it with your dirty hands, as everyone does, and you don't change it every hour or two, you could actually spread COVID even more. It goes into that what is left? If the masks don't work, why are we wearing them? I don't have a good answer for that. And the scientific literature doesn't point to a good answer for that. So in face masks in one lesson, I don't want to convince some of your listeners may love their mask. I don't want to convince the person who loves their mask to stop wearing it. I had a security blanket when I was a child. I loved it. You weren't going to get it away from me. And I know the mask is the same way for some people. Now, the face mask in one lesson is for those who know they don't want a mask anymore. And it tells you, in the grocery store, say this. If that doesn't work, try that. And if you try this, you're guaranteed to get it.
Tell me some of the things people can – tell us all some of the things they can say in the grocery store. I know what I do. What do you recommend?
Now, one simple thing. This came from literally hundreds of letters of people – emails of people writing me saying, hey, I'm going up to the compliance checkpoint. I'm yelling about my civil liberties, and then they tell me to go home. What's wrong? And if you can avoid conflict at the compliance checkpoint, you're one step ahead. If you could just pick up the phone, it's going to take you 3 minutes. If you could pick up the phone and ask to speak to a manager and let that manager know, hey, I'm unable to wear a face mask safely. Will you still let me in the door? I'm thinking about coming by about 2 p.m. If you can say something along those lines to a manager in reasonable tones on the phone, right there's a 19 out of 20 chance that you're going to get through that door at 2 p.m. That's uh-huh. one easy thing.
And
that's
if
one
you
easy
don't,
thing
then
right
you
there.
Walk away and you shop elsewhere. You go elsewhere. You know, I've driven 10 miles out of my way to shop at a store when I was insulted, and there are some stores I won't even shop at anymore. My liberty is more important to me than getting the right brand of green beans. You know,
I love that thinking. And you know, if you push in the right way, you're going to have a lot of success. I've found, and face masks in one lesson is essentially about that kind of figuring out at the grocery store what are the right directions to kind of push in, and at school what are the right directions, on an airplane what are the right directions, if you get called for jury duty what are kind of the right ways to go to jury duty unmasked.
If tell us about. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No. I'm done.
Tell us about airports. The only thing I've heard, I haven't flown, but my husband does. And the only thing I've heard is that if you keep eating on the plane, you can keep your mask off. But what about walking through the airport? I don't want to. I won't. It's like me crying uncle. It is a lie. It's a fraud. And I'm just not going to do it. So what do you recommend there?
Airport, I'd recommend the same thing I recommend anywhere else, which is to begin by looking at the face mask order or the face mask policy that's going to apply to you. And those can be hard to get, but if you can get a hold of those, if you can start there, you're going to have a lot more success. And a lot of these face mask policies for municipal policies or state policies, Michigan, for example, lets you into a church with no mask. That's a state policy. They'll let you vote
with
no mask.
Lets you into a church? Since when do they get to tell you? Well, that's a whole other story. Go ahead.
I wish we lived in different times. I wish.
Of course. What if a security guard comes up to you in the airport and you're dragging your suitcase to your gate and you're not wearing a mask, you're going through security and you're not wearing a dumbass mask? And a security guard says, I'm sorry, you cannot go through security unless you put that rag on your face. Then what do you do?
I've got a medical exemption, and I'm in a hurry. Excuse me.
Okay.
That's what I would do exactly. And the way I would make sure that I'm a little protected in that situation is that I would – there aren't a lot of airlines left that are making a lot of room for liberty right now. They're all lobbying the White House to please institute a national ban on face a national mandate on face masks. I wish that weren't the case, but that is what they're doing. I would only fly Delta right now. Delta puts you on the phone with a doctor. You can have a conversation with the doctor, and there are many conditions that will allow that doctor.
They put you on the phone with a doctor?
Yeah, it's a crazy thing, but that's what they do.
What if I have a doctor's note? They're not going to accept it?
It's a conversation and a negotiation. you got to talk with them about your note a little bit. It's a real pain, but it works.
It works. So you can walk through. Can you walk through an airport without a mask to get to your gate?
If you fly Delta and you say to them, I have a condition, I don't want to wear a mask, they're going to say to you, we need you to wear a mask 5 minutes out of every 25 minutes or something like that. You say, okay, we agree. And then you go on with your business. While you're on the plane, you want to have beef jerky and chewing gum with you. If you can do those two things, you're set for that whole trip.
Beef jerky and chewing gum. I will tell my husband that. Beef jerky and chewing gum. Now, to some of us who are a little bit purist, and it is, we are horrified at the number of people who do comply because it's just the path of least resistance. But you see, as we know, that if everybody complies, then all of our freedoms are curtailed and into dust. And we see that the restrictions that are being placed on our lives, on everything in our life, continue to get tighter and tighter and tighter as the news for 10 months now, the virus is not nearly as severe as it was before. So all you can conclude, well, I mean, the virus is not as severe as we thought it might be. We know it's like 99.8%, and most of the people who die, and we're sorry that they die, are over 80 and have other illnesses, and gee, nobody's been dying of the flu anymore because they're all chalked up to coronavirus. So it is probably the biggest hoax there has ever been, and yet an entire country is buying into it. It makes me so concerned about how much people know about their freedom. I will say this. At the Kroger, I have been running into people who are proudly going unmasked now, and that has changed because the stores are stopping. They are not. I've been kicked out of places, especially in liberal areas. Tell us a little more while I think of what else I wanted to ask you on
okay.
What I'm saying, because there's so much I wanted to ask you.
With what you're saying about, you know, they told us lockdowns would work. They told us face masks were the solution. They told us church closings were the solution. They told us fake voting scams were the solution. And over again this year, we're getting the rug pulled out from under us.
Right.
And there's a few things at a grocery store, for example. Really, if you just look at that policy, you brought up grocery stores. If you look at that policy and you telephone that manager and you say, hey, I'm unable to wear a face mask safely, that's going to be a huge percentage of your battle is handled right there. If you can just have that conversation, it's going to take you 3 minutes. Now, I'm not telling you if you spend your Christmas in some fetid French trench that's going to protect your freedom. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you to storm Omaha Beach to protect your freedom. But with a 3-minute conversation, you really can protect your freedom right now. And it's really wonderful.
Go ahead.
Something important about this is if you will be able to say no to the face mask right now, you will be able to say no to that vaccine. You are working those important muscles, and this is so vital right now.
Absolutely true. And it is amazing. Even a lot of conservatives think the vaccine is a good idea. I know somebody, a brilliant man in other areas of his life, and yet I think he's turning now, but he, you know, he's all prepared to take a vaccine. And I thought, why would you trust the same people that have been lying to you, lying to you, lying to you again and again and again? Why would you do that? We don't need a vaccine for a virus. It's 99.8, whatever it is, non-lethal. And by the way, I don't use it doesn't take me 3 minutes. I usually say I have a doctor's note and I just keep on walking. Would you like to see
Wonderful.
It? I am in such a hurry when I go that they don't bother me. Now, there are people who tell the manager on me and I feel like I'm back in high school without a pass. Listen, can you stay? Can you hang on for a break? We're going to continue this. If you could. Thank you. Alan Stevo is with us, and we'll be talking more about this and the vaccines when we come back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we are back, and I am just enjoying talking to Alan Stevo, my guest, who's author of How to Stop Wearing a Face Mask in One Lesson. What's the exact title? Why don't I have it here? I'm not organized.
Face Mask in One Lesson.
Face Mask in One Lesson, available at Amazon, and you've written a lot of other books too, haven't you? Yes, you have. Here they are. How to Win America for Ron Paul. Okay. Are you kind of a libertarian-leaning person, I suspect?
Oh, that man, Ron Paul, cured my apathy. I got to tell you that. That was a special thing to see him run in 2008 and 2012.
Ah. So do you like Rand Paul as much?
Hey, I watched that guy in the Senate. Judiciary Committee 2 days ago, standing up for America. That was, right. I like courage. I like people who have courage, just like you, Karen.
Oh, thank you. And you obviously do too. And gosh, this is a mutual admiration society. I'll tell you what, I have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for people to stand up and say they've had enough. Now, I had enough a long time ago, but now people were waiting and waiting and waiting for this vaccine, which I would not take. And now fascist Fauci is telling everyone, well, now there's a vaccine, but you're still going to have to wear a mask. You're still going to have to do as we say. You're still going to have to be 6 feet apart from somebody. And we're going to tell you where to walk, how to stand, where to go, what shops you can go to, and all the rest. At what point is the jig up? Now, someone told me a long time ago that was a racist phrase. I've never thought so. I've heard it only in that. But at what point do people realize they've been had and they should stop it right now? People don't like to admit that they've been fooled, but it is time now, because you'll find out you were fooled later. What about these vaccines? How can they say that with a straight face, Alan Stevo?
You know, this is a thing about, I won't use the word sociopath or psychopath, I'll just use the word bully. Bully. Here's the thing about bullies that some of us learned in grade school. If you say yes, sir, every time a bully asks you to do something or tells you to do something, you're going to end up doing something even more ridiculous. So you're going to walk through the store with a face mask that doesn't work. And then the next time you're going to be wearing goggles that don't work. Then the next time you're going to be hopping on one foot. And that will be just as protective for grandma as the nonsense face mask or as the vaccine, which is this thing we need to remember. 1976, the United States rushed a vaccine to market at election time, and Guillain-Barré syndrome became a household term for several years as people got these very strange illnesses from the vaccine. Or 2009, we rushed a vaccine to market for H1N1, and there's trusting frontline healthcare workers. There's trusting front healthcare workers and government workers who took that shot, said the government wouldn't do us wrong. The government did them wrong. They have 11 years later, they continue to suffer from epilepsy, and the government says, oh, that's not our vaccine. No, they just all coincidentally ended up with epilepsy, all these people. When a vaccine goes wrong, it really goes wrong.
Yeah, and then there are people who believe all this is conjecture, that you've got incompetence and you've got mistakes, and then you have deliberate sabotage. There are a lot of people who believe it's deliberate sabotage. I've read plenty of people who think that they're going to give it to the military so they can disable the military. Who really knows? But if it's a vaccine for a virus that's 99.86% non-lethal, why do you need a vaccine? It's preposterous. Okay. I have a good analogy, which that I wrote in one of my pieces that I think might help some people appreciate it. Did you ever see Little Shop of Horrors?
Did yes, I love that you? Big plant. Seymour.
There you go. Audrey 2 is the name of the plant.
Oh, Audrey 2.
And Seymour
yes, right.
is Seymour, you know. Suddenly Seymour. So funny. It is so funny. Here's this woman. She talks like that. She talks just like that. She has a lisp. And then all of a sudden she comes out with this massive voice. Suddenly Seymour. It's hilarious. You know, my husband loves that movie, that Broadway show. I saw it off Broadway. And it is a perfect analogy. If you keep on feeding the monster plant, all he does is get bigger and bigger and scarier until he eats you. The only thing you can do with a man-eating plant like Audrey 2 is blow it up. And that's what, I'm sorry, this is a, what do they call it, a spoiler. This is a spoiler, so you might want to, you know, turn the volume down for a second. You got to blow up the big plant because eventually a little drop of blood becomes a constant feeding him of humans to, you know, to feed his needs. Plus, it is the human blood that makes him grow bigger, right? So concessions, complying with lies, doing as you're told, that makes Audrey 2 bigger. Good one.
That's a wonderful analogy. Wonderful.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. So what do you want us to know? I'm also, I guess because I was in showbiz for a long time, I love movie analogies. And another movie analogy is Gandhi. I've been talking for months and months and months. Now, Gandhi wasn't perfect. People like to think he is, like he, you know, nobody's God. Everybody has, as is said, feet of clay. But the movie Gandhi from 1982 is a treatise on civil resistance, nonviolent resistance, and civil disobedience. And I've been talking about that for a long time, and it took like 10 months for people to say about the only thing you do is civil disobedience. Well, one of the reasons we're here now is because people weren't listening back in May and June. So what can you tell us? Because your book is basically another treatise in civil disobedience as it relates to the mask. And the mask is diabolical. I'm telling you, it's diabolical. And it's a tool of the communist Chinese. So what do you think about civil disobedience in other areas? And what can we do in your estimation to get that going more? Apart from Donald Trump, hopefully getting another 4 years, which I have not given up hope yet for, what can we do to strengthen people and help them understand what you and I understand?
I love civil disobedience, and many early American writers said that it's almost inhuman to be obedient, that it just wasn't what was intended for us, and that this kind of disobedient spirit is part of us. And the most important civil disobedience, though, I have a piece coming out this weekend that suggests how to end face mask mandates this week. Where is that going to be? LouRockwell.com it'll be. I've written 40 or 50 pieces there so far this week, this year.
Oh, great. Well, give us a little preview of how we can do that in 1 week.
There's the most, I think the most important civil disobedience is saying for yourself, it's what you said, Karen, that you model this good behavior, this free behavior, and you say, if you won't let me wear my mask here, then I'm going to take it somewhere else. And it doesn't mean yelling at anyone. It means having a calm conversation with someone who can control whether you walk in the door unmasked or not. So you're probably not talking to the person guarding the door. That person probably doesn't deserve your time. That person doesn't deserve to know what your health condition is. If they start asking questions, that's not respectful, sir.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I want to comment real quickly when you said obedience and it's inhuman. Well, disobedience cannot coexist with communism and socialism. They can't, because that's what we are undergoing right now, is an attack on individuality, an attack on independence of thought. And that's what our whole, it's an attack on America, because that's what America was founded upon. We have only a minute. Can you give us really literally about 15 seconds where people can find your book? And thank you so much for joining us, Ellen Steva. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Face Masks in One Lesson. You can find on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or anywhere you buy your books. Ellen Steva is my name. We're going to fight this corona communism that's been implemented on us. We're going to fight it one person at a time. We're going to win.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Doug for getting on the air and being off the air and being our engineer. Thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. For more of Spouting Off, and don't forget this, Chazak, which means strength in Hebrew, Chazak.